You're listening to the Artists of the Industry podcast on the A of the I Radio Network. Community, industries, corporate, culture, where technology, creativity, and business unite.
Here we are. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah.
We know that it's been about over a year. Well, actually, it's been probably close to 2 years we started up a podcast. We did quite a few episodes, and then the business started to get busy.
Yeah.
And so our focus, because we're such a small operation, we just focused on our VTX products, working with our clients. Marriott was a big client, and then Coca-Cola came about. Mm-hmm. So we really had to focus with that, with everybody traveling a lot and being on site. So we put on purpose the podcast on the side for a while.
We knew
we wanted to get back to it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to build the company, the whole concept was you got to kind of build the product, get a client to fund one project at least and get started. So you actually have something that's viable and has credibility and proof and ROI that you can prove and all of that. So we got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And this last year, we ended with a couple of great projects, a couple of great clients. And then this year, it's spilling into adding on to the same clients and then grabbing onto a couple more clients, which is great. But now it's time to do a lot of outreach and marketing and get the marketing machine back up and going. And I think the podcast is a part of that because it's intimate. It's behind the scenes. It focuses on the people and the culture and everything that we do,
mm-hmm.
and then brings in people from the outside of our company to talk about what we do, what the industry is doing, what's important, what really is good return on investment for companies in the mm-hmm. digital age and all of those sorts of things. So now we're back with the A of the I Radio Network and the Artists of the Industry podcast.
Yeah, and here we are.
And we've got to know each other now.
Mm-hmm.
We've known each other now for what?
Almost two years, maybe a little bit more.
More than 2 years.
To the A of the I
we're
Radio
into our,
Network.
Getting into our third year of actually having the studio open.
Mm-hmm.
Since the day you walked in, you've been here.
Yep.
From that day forward. And when we were actually wiring the studios together.
Yeah, way back then.
So in the back of the house, we were working on VR training and mm-hmm. Coding and programming and Unity and all of those things. But we also had a very cool studio that we were building for the music side of it and the mm-hmm. actual content and production side of it,
yep.
which you became very involved with. And then you shifted over to actually wearing a lot of hats and getting involved with the interactive side, too.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
You work very closely with our LA team,
mm-hmm.
Spencer and Cameron and Olaf and Gabe and everybody over there.
Yep.
With Chicago and LA connecting every single day on our team calls, you're a big part of keeping all of that organized and everything. So you've become a very, very big part of where we're going, how we got to where we're at right now, and mm-hmm. a big part of our future. And building a team and curating the right team that speaks to the culture that we really want to be is probably, in my opinion, almost as important or more important than the actual product itself.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more important, definitely the culture.
Yeah. So we come from two different generations.
Sure do.
Very different backgrounds.
Yes.
I'm 52 years old. How old are you?
I am 29, about to be 30 soon. So
you were 27 when you...
Yeah, I think I was 27 when I started here, yes.
Right. So I had not yet turned 50.
There we go. Talking numbers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I look at you, and there's a book by a gentleman named Richard Rohr called Falling Upward that is a pretty cool book, and it talks about the two halves of life. I'm at the part of my life, hopefully I'm only at the half of my life.
I hope so too, yeah.
Trying to take good care of myself these days to make
absolutely.
Sure of that. But,
right.
you know, I'm past the beginning of my life. So
mm-hmm.
I spent the first half of my life kind of, you know, figuring out who I was, what I was, and probably didn't have a clue for many, many years.
Sure.
You know, we're all given a deck of cards that we didn't choose.
That's
so we have
sure.
no idea what that deck of cards are.
Yeah.
But I think our job is to figure out how to use that deck of cards the best that we can
mm-hmm.
and work with what we have. And then hopefully by the second half of life, you're holding more of the cards that you wish to hold,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot more leverage because your deck is better.
Yes.
But that doesn't come by luck.
That's for sure.
So tell me, how did you get into the creative business? How did you get here? Take me back when you were a kid.
For me, I feel like it's just always been in my family. I mean, I grew up in a family where we all played the piano, and it seemed that there was always creativity around me, although my parents never pushed for creativity as much, you know? They just put us in places, and it kind of just sparked from there, and I think everything was just self-inspired. Again, growing up, I didn't really love going to piano lessons, especially after an eight-hour day of school, but then it just kind of stuck, and I don't know. Now I'm just here. I feel like music's just always been a role in my life, whether it was being in the school band or playing piano or the drums. I did drum lessons for a little bit. And yeah, I just feel like I've always been playing music. And then I grew up and then computers were just becoming a more accessible thing. And then I just started picking up Fruity Loops and then other little video games that were revolved around music. And it just stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
So were you so focused on music and the tech and wanting to be that? And along the way, did you get sidetracked by anything in your life and kind of go down the wrong route? Or did you keep focused and did that carry you to where you are now? Or were there some stops along the way?
I mean, I think there were some stops along the way. I don't think it was always just like music, music, music. After high school, I moved to the city and lived in Chicago. And I think I took that opportunity to explore different cultures, try food, and meet so many diverse people where I wasn't really focused about music. It was just like, man, I'm living in the city. This is like super cool. So I did that for a few years. And then after maybe 3 or 4 years, brought the music thing back up and I decided to go to college. But it was definitely a lot of just life experience that I think is very important, you know, just to go out there and experience different people and different energies. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely, I wouldn't say sidetrack, but just more of an experience gaining few years.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what was your childhood like as far as your upbringing, your parents, your relationship with your parents and your siblings?
It was really good. I really love my parents. They're the best. They've supported every single thing I've ever wanted to do, as much as I may, and my brothers may have been troublemakers. My parents had 3 boys, so it's probably crazy. But no, it was really good. I'm really close with my parents, my brothers, and my cousins. We always see each other for every holiday, and we were all in piano. So it was just kind of a really fun upbringing, and that's still cool. To this day.
No, that's great. That's inspiring for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the generation gap between us, and I read a lot about generation gaps.
Yeah.
I do a lot of reading, probably more than I ever have in my life, and I read a lot of different things, you know, whether it be, you know, from the newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, or the New York Times, which are completely two separate things. Mm-hmm. And then I also read a lot of authors I read a lot of history, and I also read a lot of blogs from different generations, and especially in the creative field, and what younger generation thinks about the older workforce and what the older workforce thinks about the younger workforce.
Yeah.
And if you believe everything you read out there, it sounds discouraging.
It sure does.
It really does. I mean, I think that, you know, we talk about gender, we talk about age, and we talk about discriminations and all of that. But I think if people just kind of realize that the world is evolving and there's something to learn, you know,
from
each other.
Yeah.
It can do nothing but make both generations' life more fulfilling.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm experienced in this because in order for me to build Artists of the Industry or to actually have the funding and to be able to do the work, I'm in the middle of 2 generations.
Yeah.
Like my business partner is a generation older than I am. It took me over 16 years of working with him to gain the credibility and come to a place where he respected me and understood what I was about and that could add value to his life and that I could understand where he was coming from. And sometimes I was like, oh man, that's kind of old school way of thinking and stuff. But there was some wisdom in some of the things he was saying. And I learned to respect him for his age and his experience. Starting Artists of the Industry was not a inexpensive proposition.
Yeah, I'm sure.
For those viewers that are watching on YouTube, you could see that the studio is not your average bedroom studio. It's a very well thought out professional place that was designed by studio designers and mm-hmm. hand wired and all of that. So it was expensive, and not only that, the labor that it takes to do the coding, mm-hmm. find the right talent and Unity and all of the digital platforms that we needed to create, because the days of just making corporate video and making money on making records,
mm-hmm.
you know, those days are pretty much, in the traditional sense, are gone.
Yes.
So you really need to be diversified.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that in order to bring in the new technology, most of the talent that I needed to work with was coming out of college at that specific time, that mm-hmm. were fresh,
yeah.
that were in the game development business, that were cool and hip and all of those mm-hmm. sorts of things. And I came from the corporate world to where I had lots of customers that I understood would buy this service
mm-hmm.
if we could build the right product.
Absolutely.
So the combination between a generation above me
mm-hmm.
investing into me and my ideas and really supporting artists of the industry financially, and the generation younger than me actually creating all of this work. And then I kind of just look at myself in the middle, trying to put all these things together to create artists of the industry. And I think it's working well right now.
It is. It really is.
I think it's important that we build onto that team because we've lost a few people over time that just didn't quite mm-hmm. fit that culture, that
yeah.
had the wrong idea. They were a little bit more about, I just got out of school and I should be making this amount of money
mm-hmm.
right out of the bat,
or yeah.
shortly after jumping on board, they think they deserve this because they
yeah.
helped us get past a couple of hurdles.
Yeah.
And that's not what we were looking for.
Definitely
we were looking
not.
For people that understood the value of everybody on both sides on where we were going with this,
mm-hmm.
that if everybody was on the same page, we're all going to get there together.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think the key takeaway from that is, you know, take the best from all the different generations and experience, and keep your eyes open for new ideas and fresh thoughts that are coming from the younger generation that, like, I didn't grow up with the internet.
Yeah.
I didn't have the internet. And you were born with the internet.
I was, but I do remember going to the library just to only use the internet. But I kind of came at the beginning phase.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now I'm glued to the internet, so yes.
I mean, you think about it. And technology is a big part of, I believe, why we've come so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's also just evolution of people's minds and stuff. And I look to you guys, that mm-hmm. your generation— you have the ability to take this world to places that only people dreamed of.
Yeah, I hope so.
For your children.
Absolutely.
For your significant others, your mm-hmm. wives, all of those sorts of things. But what I see in you is an upbringing that instilled that in you already.
Mm-hmm.
There was diversity in your world, in your life, and what you thought of people.
Yeah.
I just got the understanding before I got to know you that your parents were a huge influence how you treated other people.
Yes. And I think that comes with our personal culture. I'm Filipino, and, you know, my mom grew up in the Philippines, and then they came here to America. And again, my mom had three boys and worked two jobs, and my dad's been working at United Airlines forever. And they just really taught me how to just work really hard and to just get over everything and just to keep working and keep going forward, even if something negative happens.
Yeah. So what have you learned over the last, let's say, 2 years being mm-hmm. here that you didn't know before, as far as overall kind of big picture stuff?
Everything. I think, I don't know, I like to fancy myself as I knew how to be communicative to other generations and everything, but being here working with other people in different generations has taught me so much about being even more open-minded to understanding not only, you know, myself, but just other people and what is best for the company,
yeah.
you know, because it's easy to just say like, well, I know this or you know that. But at the end of the day, we should be collaborative mm-hmm. for the bigger picture for the company.
Yeah, I think that's also reflective in some of our off-hour work together that mm-hmm. we've done. And I noticed that you, you picked up the guitar.
Yeah.
And you're learning how to be a blues man in the background.
Yeah, got to. I feel like I got the soul, but I just got to learn how to play.
Well, and then you gave me a new modern flair on production.
Yeah.
To modernize my recording process and my own music that's been sitting in my head and in my body and in my soul for years and years. You know, I've always had a way of recording it and then just learning kind of a new technique because of your skill set has really modernized what we're doing. And I think what we're doing together is actually turning out pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So do you have any advice for, and this is a pretty typical question, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it because I think it creates a lot of discussion. What would you tell your younger self? Let's just get to that point.
I guess I would tell my younger self or other younger people to just keep being open-minded and keep meeting different people and keep working with other people and try to just get that culture into your mind and how to work with other people. I mean, everybody's so different. So I think when you meet someone, you kind of just get something from them, whether positive or negative, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. I really feel that I am who I am today because of everybody I've met and all the experiences I've gained.
Very well put. I wanted to talk about people develop routines over time, whether that's a daily routine or kind of when you know you've had enough and you need to take a break kind of and switch directions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Justin James' routine and your creative process.
Man, my creative process and routine is really just extreme hard work. I mean, I constantly think that every moment I'm not working, somebody else is working. So like I'm always working. I mean, even if it's like just going home and laying in bed, I'll look up YouTube and learn one new skill or look one thing up. But most of all, just taking action. You had mentioned I'm learning the guitar. So cool, I'll spend 30 minutes learning the guitar. Maybe the next 30 minutes I'll look up one mixing or recording technique. The next I'm just learning something else. I'm just constantly always trying to be a sponge and learn everything I can. Because again, trailing back to the generation gap and us younger people being so influenced by the internet, it's almost like you have every single bit of information at the palm of your hand. So it would be a waste if we didn't utilize the fact that we can Google anything, YouTube anything, watch a tutorial. So I think for me, it's just learning things all the time.
How do you balance exactly what you just said about never stopping working and then stopping working?
Well, first of all, I'm engaged. So my fiance, Bree, is just amazing and definitely helps support my dreams and my vision. So definitely huge support from her. But then also, you know, on weekends I clock out, I'm not here at work. And I think it's about learning things, but with my daughter too. You know, who's to say that I can't play the guitar and learn something while teaching her and she's having fun. Mm-hmm. So I try to tailor things that I'm learning. And although she's running around me, she's very interested in it. And I think that's a big part. You know, it's just some people say, oh, I'm not going to practice guitar. I'm not going to learn anything because I have a kid or whatever. But it's anything's really possible.
Right.
You know, she has her own little guitar, so we just sit there and practice together.
Right.
And I'm not sure if she's understanding what I'm saying, but I know she's definitely learning. So it's definitely fun.
So how was it transitioning into working in the VR world and working in the hotel industry from becoming a very, I would consider you, you know, you're a kid from the suburbs, but you love the urban environment.
Yes.
You're very urban, you're very big city
Absolutely.
And all that. And then getting into a corporate environment, working with corporations like at Marriott Hotels and the Sheraton and Coca-Cola, which you've been involved with all of those projects, United Airlines.
Yeah.
What would your advice be for people that have those opportunities? And the second part of that is, you know, is that what you want to be doing? Does that add value to your life?
Yeah, it definitely adds value to my life. I think it's really fun because, one, these big block corporations or these global brands are actually becoming more open-minded themselves, too, and bringing in younger, creative people into their cultures or their brands to tell their stories. I believe if there was any advice that I would have to give to anyone is going back to saying that you should be meeting people and all that, is that you'll learn how to adapt to different environments. Mm-hmm. So when you hang out with different people, you just learn how to tailor yourself in a way mm-hmm. to your environment. And I think that's kind of helped me a lot growing up. I mean, I've always just hung out with people of all sorts of ages at all sorts of jobs that I didn't find it was hard to transition to, you know, going to work with these big corporations, but it was just humans.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. You know, I always like to say that, and I didn't create this, of course, but, you know, responsibility gives life meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're responsible for another person, and you as a creative are responsible for using your creativity to help that corporation succeed,
mm-hmm.
that's a responsibility, and that
Absolutely.
Gives you a meaning of life, that you get to use your creative tools and your desire to be a creative and actually help somebody else succeed in their world, in their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think you're a very responsible person. I think the responsibility and your priorities are definitely in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
That gains a lot of respect from people like me.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything that you would have done different over the last, you're still young, so
yeah.
is there anything you would have done different or any mistakes that you wish you didn't make?
No, I don't think I would ever do anything different because everything's just supposed to happen, right? And I think I've trained myself where mistakes are not even mistakes. They're just lessons
right.
now at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything just happens for a reason. I'm grateful and thankful for where I am in life, being here and all that. But, you know, everything was supposed to happen the way it was.
Yeah. Well, that's a great attitude to have.
I mean, I've had bad things happen to me, trust me. But you just learn from them, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, having bad things happen in your life is just part of life.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's the suffering part that they talk about. I think
right?
we're all supposed to endure that.
Yes.
And, you know, unfortunately for many, they go different routes and with drugs and alcohol and things
yeah.
like that, and that just leads to deeper despair.
It sure you does.
Know, I've had some people in my life that have gone that direction, and
yeah.
especially in the music business.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they didn't have the coping skills to get through those difficult times and those mistakes that they made and
mm-hmm.
turned to that source of coping
yeah.
skill and didn't turn out real well for them.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So, well, that being said, we've got a pretty good-sized team between
mm-hmm.
Chicago and L.A., what's it been like, you know, learning new skills and folding yourself into the thought processes of Unity developers and all of that coming from a music guy? What's that been like?
I mean, it's been really fun. Again, I feel that I just love learning things, and it's easy, where some people may find that daunting a little
mm-hmm.
bit. But luckily for me, I've always been around computers. So even with just music production as my foundation of producing electronically,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of been, I mean, not easy, but it's been an easier approach for me being computer savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's Adobe Premiere or learning when we did the stitching in Ozo, I just kind of soak it all in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easy for me to kind of wrap my head around technology for some reason.
Yeah. Are you a list person?
What
or
do you mean?
You just kind of, do you write out a list every day? Or do you just keep it in your head?
I keep it in my head. I know that, you know, you should write a list. Sometimes I do, but most of the time it's usually just in my head.
Yeah.
I'm able to organize my thoughts and make sure I'm getting everything done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, I guess Leonardo da Vinci had a list.
Yeah.
And his list every morning that he woke up was, what did he want to learn that day?
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, wow.
He actually, that's what his list was. And some people, I mean, I'm like this now. It's like if I learned something during the day,
mm-hmm.
that's a good day.
Yeah.
You know,
I really feel like you should just learn one thing a day. I mean, people think like you have to learn some big extravagant thing, but you can just learn just one small thing
yep.
every day, and it
yep.
literally will change your life.
Yep, exactly.
It's amazing.
Very cool. So part of my biggest joy is to learn about people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like to read biographies and history and all of that, to learn from that and them. A lot of dead people I like to read about.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to get the wisdom out of them, you know?
Exactly. I would say I read more books by dead people than anything else I read
now.
And then I watch a lot of the new stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
All the new creators and philosophers and people like that.
Yeah.
Like a Jordan B. Peterson, for instance. I watch him on YouTube, but mm-hmm. somebody similar to him I may have read may have written their book in the 17th or 18th century, but Sheesh. They had a great wisdom.
They did.
You know, as did, you know, like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I read the Bible, and it's a great history book.
Absolutely.
So, in my opinion. But I'd like to flip this table around here.
Sure.
And got any questions for me?
I don't know. I guess leading this company and dealing with the generation gap, what skill set do you need to make sure that we're all on the same page?
What I look for is people that don't come to me with a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What I look for is people that bring something to my attention that might cause an issue or that is causing an issue, but that also comes prepared with a couple of ideas. Did a little bit of research, had a conversation with other team members to discuss the problem, then come to me and explain it and say, but I think this is probably a good solution. I'm looking for solution-minded people. Mm-hmm. I think business and creativity, especially creative companies, start with problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that every single day within our business, there's going to be problems to solve. Don't come to me and say, this ain't going to work, or I got this problem. I don't think this is going to work. You know, that, mm-hmm. don't tell me how it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, tell me how we're going to fix it and let's make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I look for in people.
Cool.
And I look for people that are out to make everybody else look good
mm-hmm.
before themselves.
Yeah.
I look for, like, Spencer to make you look good, and mm-hmm. I expect you to make Spencer look good.
Absolutely.
Okay, we all make mistakes, but to prop each other up and make each other look good, I think shows a very strong, great character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I primarily look for character. That doesn't mean you don't make mistakes or have bad days
sure.
or say a bad thing to somebody, as mm-hmm. long as you're willing to admit it. And go back to the team member and say, hey, sorry, this is where, you know, I was a little tired and not repeat it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Character's everything to me.
It sure is.
So if that answers your question.
No, it definitely does. And I guess that kind of goes into my next question of, it seems that things are moving forward and our team is growing and we're constantly looking for new talent, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, being in this digital era, we're looking for fresh, young talent, mm-hmm. coders, web developers, designers. What advice do you have to young creative people looking for a job, or if they were looking for a job with us or any creative company?
Right. Well, I think your attitude and your demeanor and your listening skills of what people are looking for is very, very important when you get your foot in the door for the very first time. Don't have expectations that are your expectations without understanding what the goals of that company is
mm-hmm.
and what they're trying to accomplish and where the company is and where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you need to think beyond the tech. You need to think beyond your own needs and what you see as the plan for your life and understand how, you know, it's going to take one step at a time, maybe a step back to go two forward, all of those sorts of things, and don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But work every day on your skill and your creative output, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I went into the corporate world. I wanted to continue to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to get into marketing.
Cool.
With a small company that I knew had some credibility and some contacts that were going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be at a ground level at something and I could help them achieve what they wanted.
Yeah.
By purely, you know, my presentations, I wrote all my own music for. I learned how to edit video on my own.
There you go.
I learned how to build presentations and looked at people like Steve Jobs and the way they gave presentations up on the stage and how they wowed people with new cool ideas and things like that. So mm-hmm. I incorporated that into our voice when we went out to grow the business. and did it organically.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fun doing it. And so I would tell people, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you love doing.
Absolutely.
Be willing to start off at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
If you're handed a broom, sweep the floor the very best that you can. And don't have an ego. Leave it at the door.
Absolutely.
There's going to be plenty of egos once you got in the door that you're going to have to deal with. Don't be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually those egos eventually go away and they get replaced. And don't forget that everybody, no matter how good you are replaceable. So mm-hmm. those are hard lessons to learn.
They definitely are, but you have to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do. I mean, be yourself, be authentic, keep honing your skills in, but be a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Treat people with respect, no matter how old they are or young they are. Know that everybody's trying to get the same thing. They're trying to just have a good life.
Absolutely.
And keep your eyes open for people that don't have that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from them, but be careful.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let's talk about technology. We had read the fact that by 2025, the total global investment will be like in the $8 billion or something for virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yeah.
That's still a few years ahead of us, but given the time that we've been working on VR and AR, even just a few years ago, what inspired you to want to open up a company that does virtual reality and augmented reality? Because that's definitely something that, I mean, at least for me, I wouldn't think that many people are like, I'm going to go into virtual reality. I'm going to start a company. Mm-hmm. What made you want to go in the technology direction?
Well, because as a presenter and a creative guy that believes that good content actually tells a great story, mm-hmm. or vice versa, a great story can create good content and all of that. I think content is king, and I think it always has been. I think it always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And good storytelling is important. But when I was presenting in a traditional format using PowerPoint and keynote presentations and putting together great storytelling and great video and great music and all of that, there's only so far you can go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So 3D was becoming very popular when I was as a CMO for the mm-hmm. company, a chief marketing officer. 3D was becoming very popular, but I had no idea how to use it, except I went to the movie theater and saw it. It was quite annoying, quite honestly, to watch 3D movies at the time, but I saw the magic and the possibilities of what it might be if it really, really, really got good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little headachy sitting in a two-hour movie.
Sure.
Hour and a half, whatever. But I thought, you know, in small bite-sized pieces, the 3D is kind of cool. It's a little gimmicky, but I was in the hotel and resort industry at the time, and I was thinking about how cool it would be during a presentation to ask the client to put on a pair of 3D glasses and show them their meeting space with events and production going on in a 3D film where they could actually almost feel like they're in it.
Wow.
And I knew and I had heard about virtual reality and augmented reality and kind of mm-hmm. understood and did enough, you know, reading scientific papers and tech papers and white papers and things like that on what it was and what it was going to be and how the gaming world was coming. And I always thought it would be really cool to create presentations in a gaming environment and things mm-hmm. like that. So I was just kind of, you know, being geeky.
Sure.
But I used the 3D and it actually worked in the way it was meant to work.
Nice.
It actually was enough of a gimmick and enough of a cool thing that they felt that if we could create that for them, for their clients, like to help close business,
mm-hmm.
that it would be a cool enough new product and way of presenting that maybe they could gain some more business. So we were finding a way to help create return on investment and increase revenue. Most of my clients have always come to me and asked me, how do you create revenue? How can we make more money off the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can make more money off the same thing by exciting and emotionally connecting in different ways. Mm-hmm. Something that's outside the box that they've never seen before.
Absolutely.
So when VR gaming started to come around was the time that my former company was sold, and I went on to be an interim marketing CMO for this particular company and got very bored sitting in the same office every day just looking at spreadsheets. That I felt that it was time to go ahead and approach my former boss and say, hey, want to do what we've always talked about and do something really cool and different and actually bring that same set of clients that we had, a whole new way of selling and increasing revenue. And I laid it out for him. I said, we needed to build recording studios, we needed to build film production, we needed to build the basic content in a very high level version, but what we really needed to do was find game developers, people that were Unity based, people that could create 360 and build a platform that will carry content in a whole different way to sell and market venues. And I felt that in VR, you can train people. I mean, what we did with United Airlines to walk them through their whole data center, you know, they had a problem to solve. The problem was, we're doing a big leadership conference. We can't bring 5,000 people through the data center. How can we get them all through the data center? VR. So we created that experience for them. And now we've taken it to where it's menu driven. You can actually find different routes within venues and you can sell places based on being in the environment but not being there. It just started to kind of spill over on itself. So we started prototyping. We started building stuff, and I was explaining to Jim, we're going to need to put some money into this. And so we were focused on training. That's where we can save our clients money, is training the banquet staff, training the sales staff. So we built out the prototype, and then I'm sitting in the back of a cab in New York City after doing that for the day, and I get a call from Rad Lang from the Marriott Atlanta saying, hey, remember a long time ago you talked to me about this idea of this like virtual tour thing? All I have right now is those thoughts and ideas that you shared that we kind of, it never went anywhere, but it was a great idea. And I have a whiteboard full of ideas that I think might be cool. What do you think? I said, man, can't believe you called me right now, because this is exactly the type of platform that we're building that would do what the ultimate dream was to build that. Therefore, within the next 6 months, the VTX was born, virtual tour experience.
Amazing.
And now all the platforms of meeting planning over the top of it, the 360 immersive and ambisonic sound production and all of that. And then what ended up happening? We went to Africa to film a 360 VR documentary in the same time, which was another dream that was fulfilled of taking technology and giving back and doing something that was important. We helped solve some poverty issues and helped build some sustainability in some of the poorest areas of Africa. And it was just a project. It just kind of appeared because I was on a conference call with a hotel client about the VTX, and they pulled us aside and said, hey, would there be any interest in going to Africa with us on this project for community? We think VR would be a great way to do that with 360. So we said, it was a no-brainer. Absolutely, we'll do that. We'll find a way to make that happen. And that was a great experience, too. And what it did is that it actually made us VR immersive filmmakers and sound designers. Now, our core business now is virtual and augmented reality. Now we've got augmented reality and retail and food and beverage, where people are looking to sell food items and drinks and be able to sell them anywhere on properties by grabbing their phone and putting it on a coaster and actually ordering the drink no matter where they are in the hotel. Things like that. I just felt that if you really look deep inside and repurpose this technology, because VR was originally thought to be an entertainment, you know,
and
technology.
That's how I looked at it,
yeah. gaming, sporting events, and things like that. And yes, that's happening. Mm-hmm. But really where the value is, and I think where that $8 billion worth of investment by 2025 mm-hmm. is going to be in business to business and training and teaching people, virtually putting people in places, saving people money, and allowing them to spend more time with their families and working on other parts of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that answered your, it was a long way around to answer your question.
I mean, you keep going into what my next question would be. And my next question would be, for any company or global brand or whatever who hasn't or is thinking about using VR and AR, do you have any advice or tips for those people who are maybe thinking about investing in VR and AR within their company?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have one key answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Call artists of the industry.
Call us.
well, really, because here's the thing, and kind of to go back to your original question,
mm-hmm.
we've spent the last 2 years in the wild, wild west of VR and AR technology, making mistakes along mm-hmm. the way and spending 48 hours sometimes around the clock figuring out the problems. So mm-hmm. our workflow and work process and platforms that have been designed mm-hmm. are very, very, very stable and fluid. And we actually can build just about any VR or AR experience mm-hmm. on top of our platform that you can imagine. So really, I think that corporations, to answer your question, should really be thinking about what their dream is, mm-hmm. what they actually could imagine happening. And if they can't get themselves in that creative space, they need to find companies like Artists of the Industry and come in and just say, hey, and tell us their problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're like the bartender,
yeah.
you know? Sit and tell us all your woes and problems of revenue increase and what your job is and your budgets that have been increased mm-hmm. that you don't exactly know how in the world, just because you performed last year, you're going to beat that budget by 30% next year because the stockholders really need you to do that over and over and over again. I think technology can help big box corporations and brands achieve those goals without killing themselves. I think this technology mm-hmm. is very, very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Does that answer your question?
Sure does. You know, working alongside you for the last 2 years and then me also being a younger generation, I do feel as if I've learned so much from you. Where do you think all of your wisdom or your inspirations come from that have shaped you to be who you are?
Most of what I've learned, mostly, mistakes.
There you go.
I've made so many.
Sure.
I've made so many mistakes
mm-hmm.
along the way. You know, I thought I had it all figured out and had a big ego.
Of course.
When I was very young. I didn't grow up in your family situation.
Sure.
Where you guys were extremely supportive of each other's kind of goals and things. It was very clandestine for me, where mm-hmm. everything kind of had to be this way or you were disciplined for it.
Yeah.
And your thoughts of being creative and doing something that you really, really were excited and enjoyed, you were always told that you had to fall back on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I always believe in falling forward.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, falling back doesn't sound really good because mm-hmm. falling back mm-hmm. hurt yourself. Falling forward, though, you can continue to roll.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good way of thinking, yeah.
I found my love for reading. I found my mentors in books.
Nice.
Honestly, these days, you know, I'll jump ahead and then I'll jump back just to answer your question a little bit mm-hmm. more. These days, I find most of my inspiration, I would say, through my wife.
Very nice.
You know, my wife and I have been through a lot of trial and error because mm-hmm. of me trying to build businesses and building my career and and us having to raise kids and me being gone on the road for years and years. I think that's one thing I would suggest that people don't do
mm-hmm.
is stay away from their families just for the sake of building their career. I think you could do both.
Absolutely.
I think I had it all wrong
sure.
at an early part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very blessed to have this opportunity, but I think there was a lot of hard work that founded this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, mentors, you know, people that I've read throughout history, I mean, starting with Jesus himself, you know, is a big influence on on my thought process.
Absolutely.
I continue to read the Bible. I think it's one of the best books that I've ever read. And it is a foundation for me. And then I read a lot of philosophers like, you know, people like Jordan B. Peterson and people that, that look to history for learning examples. And then the Steve Jobs of the world on what they set out to do. And, you know, and a lot of musicians and artists that have maybe really influenced me by their beautiful art, but also their tragic ending and story that they didn't plan it to turn out that way, that that really went to the excess and lost everything, and, but left an amazing mark on the world with their art, but aren't here to see what the younger generations have experienced. So I think I've learned from others' mistakes, and you know, I've definitely learned from my own mistakes and the way I maybe have treated somebody in the past and that friend is not there anymore. So I learned from my own, you know, misbehavior, I would say, growing up in a in the 1980s, in the decade of excess.
Yeah,
you know, it was a kind of a throwback to the pagan times in the 80s. It was crazy, you know, and I survived it.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of my friends back then didn't survive it. So I learned from watching them spiral out or see where they are today, as opposed to where I am by kind of, you know, figuring out that you needed to get serious and you needed to, you know, you needed to not live in excess. So I guess there's a lot, I guess I could go on and on where I learned from and who I learned from.
Sure.
I continue to learn every single day. I've learned so much from you
and
Spencer. I've learned an enormous amount from my daughter. My daughter's in Spain right now on a foreign exchange kind of education program and is soon to go through Italy. And her outlook on life and her decision not to drink alcohol or do anything like that and focus on experiencing life sober at the age of 21 and making that her, I mean, those things really affect me. And when I look at her, it's like I can learn so much from her, from you, you know, so I continue to learn from younger generations. So basically I'm learning from the younger generations that are in front of me, that are on my team and around me as my family, my wife, which is my closest partner in my life. And I learn a lot from dead people.
Yeah, there you go. So then that makes me have one more question then. So I feel you asked me if I had any advice or tips for the younger generation and what their expectations should be. As someone who works with the younger generation, do you have any advice for the older generation working alongside young professionals?
Yeah, I do. Start with respect. And realize that you, as an elder, as an older person, have a responsibility to pass the best things that you've learned, but don't think that you have it all figured out, because the world changes. The world changes faster now than it ever has. And what you thought was the right way of handling something 2 years ago, 3 years ago, not let alone a decade or a generation ago, does not apply. Your politics, your way of thinking is not the only way of thinking. And if you don't think outside of that and look for younger people that actually are faster learners and have more at their fingertips than you ever did or ever will, you know, you got a lot to learn from them. So I think building a relationship that's honest, transparent, and open, it doesn't mean you put up with everything that's, you know, you have your standards as a company, you have your guidelines and things like that. I think you should be willing to change some of those guidelines and standards to fit the modern age. But I think that you should start out by respecting what this person's ambitions are and how you might be able to help them get there and live a great life and realize they have families and dreams and hopes too, just like you did, even though you may not have reached all of those because you're towards the end of your life. Try to help somebody get those dreams accomplished. Don't pigeonhole them and don't hold them down because of their age. Teach them something that they feel that will help them. Treat each other like human beings, no matter what it is. Leave those horrible preconceived notions, expectations, and egos outside. And on your way back outside the door, try not to pick them back up.
Yeah.
And treat people on the road just as well on your way home.
You know, seriously.
Just all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just common sense stuff that I just think we all just kind of really looked past the surface of everything.
Yeah.
That I think we'd find deep meaning, responsibility for each other, and we would actually be taking care of each other better.
Absolutely. And it's funny because you say it's just common sense, but, you know, it's not.
Who's common sense?
I know, right? You know, so I think it's great to have this platform to kind of speak on some of those subjects. So it's really good.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
All right. Good one. Thanks for listening to the Artists of the Industry podcast. We are so excited to be back in the saddle again. Stay tuned for new episodes, behind the business sessions, interviews with some of our amazing partners, as well as leaders in the world of creative communication and movers and shakers from all over the industry and communities that surround us. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and of course, aoftheeye.com. Give us your ideas and let us know what you think or what you might want to hear on the next episode of the Artists of the Industry podcast.
You're listening to the AFEI Radio Network.